The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Perhaps you've heard this statement. I heard it from leadership guru John Maxwell. He says this, "Everything rises and falls on leadership. Poor leadership brings poor results. Good, strong, solid, common sense leadership brings good, strong, solid results." The Bible says this in Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 4, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to desire strong drink, for they will drink and forget what is decreed, and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy." Now, all eyes are glued to what's going on in California right now with the wildfires that are totally out of control, with the fact that firefighters can't do their jobs because there's no water in the fire hydrants, because city officials have let the reservoirs run dry, because they've made ludicrous decisions on an environmental scale to save a fish and this little fish, so it affects the water supply for the people of California, the people of Los Angeles, and for the firefighters. The mayor of Los Angeles, Mayor Bass, made a decision to cut, I believe I read, $17 million from the fire department budget. And now the city is burning to the ground with 80,000 people having lost their homes and the fire still totally out of control, raging. And the mayor is in Ghana. I think she's returning now. But Gavin Newsom at a total loss. You have liberal leadership that always leads to disaster for the masses. And we want to talk about that today, along with some other things that are important in our world. And so I've asked my good friend, Dr. Scott Coulter, to come on the program. Scott Coulter is the CEO and the founder of the Danbury Institute, an issues-based nonpartisan association of churches focused on educating and mobilizing around cultural and public policy issues from a biblical Judeo-Christian perspective. So, Scott, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor. Always great to be with you this morning, and good morning. It's a good day to be a pastor in Texas and not in California right now.
Yes. So, Scott, it's hard not to just lead off the program talking about what's going on in California. What a disaster, what a heartbreaking disaster that was totally avoidable if they had prepared. But California seems to be much more concerned about LGBTQIA plus rights and agendas than they do protecting the people.
This is one more example of the American people and our citizens coming in last place. Governments have replaced their primary duty of caring for their citizens, protecting their citizens, providing opportunities for the well-being and the safety of their citizens with a progressive agenda. And you see this on full display in California, allocating more than $600 million toward climate change in the ports of California, while cutting basic and required fire services. They were warned about this. There were many, many signs that this would be a problem here. The fire departments have been warning about this. Others have been warning about this. They're reaping the consequences today of liberal leftist failed policies. But the problem is it's the American people who are paying the bill, people losing their homes, their livelihoods, all of their possessions. They're the ones making up the difference here and paying the bill for this.
Well, this was a tweet by Jillian Michaels from from the 8th, just from yesterday. She said, in 2014, voters in California put $2.7 billion towards securing future water storage through Proposition 1. 2025, not a single reservoir is complete. Over 30,000 people have been evacuated. 1,400 brave firefighters put their lives at risk. They deserve better. This is outrage at Gavin Newsom. Scott, I've maintained that Gavin Newsom has proven beyond any shadow of a doubt to be the absolute worst governor in America. And I mean, he's going for an all-time record, it seems. Why do they keep voting for this guy?
Well, the many in California have been so indoctrinated with these ideologies that this is what they think is the right course forward, and they have been so misled by the media and by the lies that are perpetuated upon them that they believe in some of these causes and continue to go down this path of destruction. President-elect Trump correctly called this morning for the resignation of Gavin Newsom effective immediately and has made that public. This is a total failure of leadership from the top down. And Governor Newsom just this morning and yesterday said that this is a local leadership failure. So he's already passing the blame off. We've seen that Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles here, was not only not out of town, but had nothing to say yesterday when she came back in and was interviewed by the media asking what her response was to this. She was silent. She had no response to this. There is no response. These are not just arbitrary policies. These are affecting lives. These are affecting livelihoods. People have died now. We don't even know the full extent of that. Firefighters are putting their lives on the line. And this is total neglect. This is malpractice of political leaders. They have not gone in and cleared out the forest for years now. The reservoirs were depleted. They knew this was coming. This is not a surprise, and they were not ready. They've been focusing on other agendas, other initiatives, and they left their American people behind.
It's terrible. I saw a clip, Scott, of the LA fire chief talking about her DEI hires, and she confessed that her main mission is not responding to disasters, but hiring women on the fire team. And you know, that's so maddening, because it's like, just like with our military, this is not a social experiment. You are training people to defend and to fight. We don't care about how many women you have or how many people of color you have. We want people that can do the job. It's kind of like, and I've said this on the program many times, when it comes to professional sports, they don't care how many white guys, how many black guys they have. They just want the best guys out on the field, the best guys out on the court, because they want to win. And it seems like we've lost sight of that. And liberal leaders, I hate to paint with such a broad brush, but it seems like liberal leaders couldn't give a flip about actually doing the job. They like the benefits that come from being a governor, being a mayor, being a president, but at the actual day-to-day part of the job of governing, yeah, I'm not so keen on that.
It's virtue signaling at its finest here, and DEI and CRT has been a colossal failure to everything it has touched. We've seen this in businesses across the country. We've seen this in the airline industry. We've seen it in police forces. It's replacing this idea of choosing the most qualified candidate for the job and replacing that with a focus on finding a minority to put in there. If a minority person is the most qualified to do the job, absolutely hire that person. But if he's not, hire the most qualified person. This is hurting our profit margins and companies. Entire companies have gone woke and are collapsing and are going bankrupt over this. It's happening all across our country. It's happening in police departments, fire departments. The NPR article was in June 5th of 2023. The headline here is, "Firefighting is Mostly White and Male. A California Program Aims to Change That." That was back in 2023. We see now the repercussions and the outcomes of that, not to mention defunding things. We're defunding our police departments, our fire departments. And what do we expect to happen? This is the only possible outcome that could happen now, is to be wildly unprepared for something like this.
Yeah, the unpreparedness. I did see Scott, you might have seen this, where Gavin Newsom was told by a reporter that Trump was calling for his resignation. And he said, you know, it's just despicable. Here we are in the midst of a tragedy, and he's politicizing it. And it's like, hey, wake up, pal. It's a tragedy because of your failed liberal policies. And Trump did talk about this not too long ago, way before the tragedy struck. He talked about the problems in California with all these water shortages. And we have a clip of that. Randy, if you'd go ahead and play that Trump clip.
So when you meet somebody with a beautiful house in Beverly Hills, you know that person is sort of disgusting under there. But where you wash your hands and you're supposed to take no more than 30 seconds, they want a quick hands. And yet they're paying millions and millions of dollars in taxes. Millions of dollars, these people. And whether it's rich people or people that are just paying a small amount of that, you're allowed to have water and you can have it for free. For free. You know, we have all those canals. They're dry as a bone. So now in Los Angeles, when you have a new home, you have faucets, washing machines, dishwashers, all of the things. But very little water is allowed to come out. Like, as an example, I stayed in one of those houses and they had a shower head. And I want to really work hard on my hair and I don't want to take it. And I turned on the water. I thought the pipes were broken. They said, no. They call it a restrictor. They have restrictors in the thing. So no water comes out. So I'm standing outside, drip, $35 million house, and you can't take a shower. Honestly, it's a bad way of life. I mean, it really is. It sort of hurts, and everybody, this goes for everybody. This is all because Gavin Newsom and the radical left, Democrats, extremists, and the people that run this state in order to save an extremely unimportant, very little and non-productive fish, the Delta smelt. Did you ever hear of it? Little smelt. Do they have a picture of it? There it is. That little sucker is causing you to not be able to clean yourself. The Delta smelt. Because of that Delta smelt, you don't have any water. You don't have farms. You don't have anything. You're all going bust. And, you know, they were talking last year they're going to have to put massive amounts of restrictions on your water use. It's.
Well, that was Donald Trump talking some months ago about the problems in California. You know, the thing, Scott, is Trump has common sense. He gets it. You have to make decisions that are benefiting the masses, not benefiting some small little sliver that has this bee in their bonnet about the Delta smelt or whatever. That's just ridiculous. What's your take on his comments?
Well, Brother Jeff, I think the whole climate change agenda has really been found to be a scam in so many different ways. You're looking at trying to protect that fish, and that may be a noble cause in itself, but what's it doing to the climate with all of the smoke that's going into the air right now from these fires that are 0% under control? They've been 3 days now. They have no containment of these fires. That is pouring waste into the ocean. That's pouring terrible air quality into the air, out over the ocean. We don't think about the ramifications and the consequences of our decisions. We're very short-sighted on those types of things. And yes, Trump is an everyday American. It's been such an anomaly to me. One of the wealthiest people in our country who lived a life that none of us could reach or attain with private jets and on the penthouse suite of Trump Tower. But he is closer to an everyday American than almost any politician who has served recently. He's been in business. He's been working with American people. He understands what it's like to live in this country, to work to make ends meet, to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and to start a business, to provide for your family. He understands those things in a world that politicians are so out of touch with. So it's refreshing to hear, and even comedic sometimes, to hear those comments because they just make sense. It just makes sense to the average American person.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, they really do. And Trump is very funny. Joe Rogan said, I think he made the comment that Trump's like a comedian. But what he has to say is solid. And you know, as many have been stating, January 20th can't get here soon enough. We don't have enough time before this segment is over. But in the next segment, there's a great clip we have from Ted Cruz talking about how Joe Biden is he's like lighting everything on fire before he goes out the door. Some have said he's a bitter old man. It's amazing how the liberals like to paint him as just this kindly old grandpa that's just done such great things for our country. And he's arguably been the very worst president, taking that title from Jimmy Carter, that we've ever seen. Just total ineptitude. But as we said, everything rises and falls on leadership, and even good guys can be bad leaders. If you're not strong and courageous, you're not going to be a good leader. And that is something that Donald Trump has. He's very courageous. He's very bold. He's strong. He knows what our country needs, and that needs our country needs to get back to common sense. And without that, we are sunk. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. We're talking to my good friend, Dr. Scott Coulter, the CEO and founder of the Danbury Institute. And we are talking about leadership, because leadership matters. This is Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, talking to my good friend, Dr. Scott Coulter, the CEO and founder of the Danbury Institute. And Scott works tirelessly to know what's going on, like the sons of Issachar, to know what is going on in our culture and what Israel should do, and encourages others to be aware and then to get involved and to take action. So we, as Christians, we need to pray. We are thankful that the country made a decision on November 5th to go in the direction of law and order and common sense and reject all the liberal policies of the left and wokeism, as Kamala Harris said in one of those interviews where she cackled her way through. We want to be more woke today than yesterday, and even more woke the next day. And we know from business, you go woke, you go broke, because the country does not want that. It does not want diversity, equity, and inclusion to govern the day. It wants the Martin Luther King dream that my four little children will be judged not on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character. Now, Scott, you and I talked a little bit just yesterday about what's going on in Oakland, California, with the with just crime running rampant because of liberal policies, because they don't want to go after vandals, and they don't want to go after shoplifters. And so the In-N-Out Burger, I saw this on Todd Starnes news, the In-N-Out Burger in Oakland that was successful financially had to close because it was too much of a danger to employees and to patrons. Their cars were getting broken into, and bullets were being fired by the restaurant. And so what is your take on that? When we have these liberal cities run by liberal mayors and you know, governors, the states run by liberal governors, that they turn into this third world hellhole. What's your take on that?
Well, the fires we're talking about today are not the entirety of this. They're just the tip of the iceberg. And we're seeing that Democrat policies are hurting people and are putting people at risk in every single way possible. This is not an isolated incident. It's happening in cities all across this country, and certainly Oakland. I love In-N-Out Burger. There's people lined up all the time to pick up an In-N-Out, and a wildly successful business. For them to have to withdraw from a city because of the safety risk to their employees and their customers, this is America. We should not have cities like this in the leading country in the entire globe. We should have strength. We should have police forces able to do their jobs. And this is one more outcoming of law enforcement that works very hard, but their hands are tied, their funding has been cut, their personnel has been cut, and they're unable to do their jobs. They're unable to keep our cities safe because of the policies of mayors and city council members that are working this leftist agenda. They're focusing on leftist politics and inserting ideas like CRT, DEI, LGBTQ protections, all of those things into our societies, into our cities, to the exclusion, not in addition to, but to the exclusion of police departments being able to do their jobs. And this is not unique to Oakland. This is happening all across our country.
Yeah, it's just terrible. You know, I think it's a true statement just across the board, broad brush. If you incorporate liberal policies into the everyday governance of the people, you're going to have disaster. You know, liberal policies may sound good on paper, but they don't ever work. You are just like socialism. Well, socialism sounds so great on paper, but people are selfish and greedy at the core of who they are in their fallen humanity, and it's never going to work. And any place you implement socialism, it's a disaster for the masses, and that's an undeniable fact. Yet people still get duped into thinking this is the way to go. It makes no sense at all. Now, Scott, I had made mention of the fact of Senator Ted Cruz had a blistering comment regarding Joe Biden and his last days in office. I want you to listen to this and then comment on it, if you would. Go ahead, Randy.
Look, it's grotesque. I have never seen an outgoing president do what Joe Biden has done in the last 2 months. He is demonstrating absolute contempt for the American voters and contempt for democracy. Every day, what he is trying to do is tie Donald Trump's hands and prevent him from carrying out the mandate the voters gave him, whether it is taking 625 million acres of offshore drilling and trying to ban the drilling there, which is just stealing from the American people, whether it's trying to sell off the border wall, whether it is signing contracts with government unions, giving them the right not to have to show up at work, but to stay at home and pretend they're working, or whether it is granting pardons that are just shameless, from Hunter Biden to 37 murderers on death row, removing them, to releasing terrorists from Guantanamo. He is demonstrating an arrogance. You know, the Democrats love to strut around like peacocks and say how much they love democracy. This is showing an absolute contempt for democracy.
All right, Scott, your comments on that?
Well, that's our senator from Texas and doing a great job, of course, in all different ways here, but he's exactly right. He is 100% correct. The American people gave an overwhelming mandate to the incoming administration on what they wanted to happen, and this is Joe Biden and his administration flying in their face and doing all that he can to gum up the works of a smooth and an effective transition. He is trying to throw a wrench into the machinations of government and to make it difficult. This will happen. The Trump agenda will be adopted, but he's slowing it down. He's gumming up the process and doing all he can to thwart that, whether it's offshore drilling cancellations there, to absolutely proving that he lied to the American people when he said, "I will not pardon Hunter Biden." He's doing the opposite of that now. Proving that I was a total bald-faced lie, stating in multiple forums to the American people at large, doing the opposite of that. This is a complete demonstration that the Democratic Party is not interested in what's best for the American people, or even responding to the results of a nationwide public and federal election. He's living in a different world, not responding to what the people commanded, what they wanted, and doing all he can to go the opposite direction. This is exempling why we're in this mess that we're in. This is a case in point, absolutely.
It's sad. You know, people make comments on X about, these people really hate you. And it's hard not to say you must be right. I mean, they're doing all they can. This isn't just... I'm inept, and so I make these bad policies. This is going out of my way to do things because I hate Donald Trump, and I hate the people that voted for him, and they're garbage, and so we're going to make it so difficult. So, Scott, in that line of thinking, how difficult is it going to be for Donald Trump? You know, if you're going to buy my house and the day before you move in, I smash all the walls and break all the windows, well, you got a mess on your hands. How difficult is it going to be, given what Biden has done in the last couple of months, when Trump is inaugurated on the 20th?
It will absolutely be difficult in all different ways here. Trump has seen this from his first administration and coming into the second one here. They're throwing roadblocks in the way of getting his appointees confirmed in the cabinet there. They're making that process more difficult. There's lots of reports coming out of actual staff members not working well with their incoming team to hand off well. That's always a seamless transition between staff members saying, "Here's your desk, here's how your job will work, here's the types of things you'll be doing." A lot of that's not happening. They're trying to disrupt this cycle and really just to bring chaos into what would be a mandate from the people here. So this will be more difficult. It's tying things up in court. The Louisiana Attorney General is filing a lawsuit right now against the current Biden administration and the Department of Justice over this block of any offshore drilling, 625 million hectare acres of land there or water space that cannot be drilled under the water. And so they're filing lawsuits against that. But that will tie all of that up in court. And then, of course, there will be a DOJ transition with the new administration and new values there coming from that new group, which will add a whole new element to that. So I don't believe that things won't get done. Trump is resolved and steadfast in that and has ways to accomplish that, but it's certainly making it more difficult. And again, just like in these cities, just like in Los Angeles, the people paying the price are the American people.
Yeah, it's very, very sad. And you would hope that people's eyes are open now. People that vote for, you know, the yellow dog Democrats, as the saying goes, they'd vote for a yellow dog if it were on the ballot. But hopefully now they see, I can't keep voting for this. This is destroying my life and destroying the lives of those that live around me, just like in California. I mean, you voted, many of those people voted for these policies, and that's the result. It's disaster. Well, let me shift gears on you, Scott, because I know you've been involved in something going on in the Fort Worth Modern Art Museum, something disgusting that was kind of flying under the radar. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, this is another example of trouble in our cities. And I love cities. I'm a city person myself. I live in Dallas. And so many great things happen in our cities, centers of power and leadership. But if they head the wrong direction, there's grave consequences to that. And we were informed just a few days ago, really actually on Christmas Day, that the Fort Worth Modern Art Museum had incorporated a new display into their museum that included explicit photography of fully naked children. And it's difficult even to talk about. But we had heard about that. I actually went over to the display myself. I didn't believe that could be the case, and wanted to confirm it with my own eyes. And what I found there was even worse than had been described. Really, this is child pornography. There's no way to get around it. Under the guise of art, full frontal nudity of children 2, 3, 4 years old, male and female, put on display in a museum with no warning, no age restriction, just a small comment that said this could be mature for certain audiences, but no age restriction, no verification, open to the public to come walk through, children walking through, young children exposed to this, and being done in the name of art. So truly an atrocity right here in one of our more conservative cities of Fort Worth that was taking place.
And you got them to remove it? What's the status on it?
Yes, the Danbury Institute is, of course, trying to push back against this evil and this darkness in our culture, and so we opened up a letter almost immediately upon confirming this was the case, just saying what it is. This is child pornography. This is evil. This is vile. It cannot be allowed to continue, and calling on the immediate removal of that. The Tarrant County judge, Tim O'Hare, the highest elected official in Tarrant County over Fort Worth there, has joined in this process, has called for the Fort Worth Police Department to investigate this. And so we've collected now pastors all across this country. Leaders have signed on to this letter with more than 2,000 signatures on it. And that has gone or is in process of going to the museum to say Christians and leaders from Texas, from DFW, but really from all across this country want this removed. We think this is illegal in some ways here, and it meets the definition of things that people are put in prison for having images like this on their devices or their cell phones. So this is truly a heinous thing. And, you know, if this goes unchecked, it almost becomes incorporated into society as okay. So Christians and leaders have to rise up and say, no, no, we will not tolerate this. We will not allow this. Enough is enough. And the Fort Worth Police Department is investigating that. They've issued a warrant and have seized those images for their investigation. And so this is no longer on display in Fort Worth. We're working towards a total removal of this from the museum. There's been no comment, no response from them. But just continued examples of evil in our society that is, as followers of Christ, we must continue to root out wherever we can find them.
Now, the museum officials are pushing back on this, saying, no, this is art. We need to have this in here.
They haven't responded. They haven't responded to us for any comment or clarification. We reached out and said, would you like to explain why this is in your museum or any response to this? There's been no response given to us or to many of the local newspapers, even national news. This has been covered on Newsmax and the Todd Starnes show as well in some different ways. So a lot of coverage on this, thousands of people saying this must be removed in Fort Worth, in Dallas. And but there's been no response. There really is no explanation for it. There's no possible explanation other than forcing a LGBTQ agenda that includes child pedophilia and includes child pornography and these aspects here, in addition to an entire breakdown of the home and marriage and family being key themes in this display. So it's evil. It's against the things of God, against Scripture, against our families, and very, very troubling.
Scott, as we prepare for the inauguration on January 20th, what would be your word of encouragement to Christians? I've stated that, you know, the work is just beginning. It's not over. We did pray and work and get the word out that, you know, we were at a major crisis in this last election, but with a return, hopefully a return to law and order and common sense under Donald Trump, still the work is beginning. What would be your encouragement to Christians? How can we make a difference in 2025 and beyond?
Well, I'm so encouraged by what we're seeing in our country right now, in that it's a different feeling after this election, and with the policies being implemented and the leaders being selected, there's just a different feeling across our country, a feeling of optimism and ingenuity and a return to what has made our country strong in so many different ways. And that happened because Christians and American citizens stepped up. They participated, they voted according to their conscience. They didn't believe the lies that were being fed to them, and they rejected so much of the direction our country was heading. So I would continue to call on Christians to participate in the process. There's great opportunities ahead of us, especially with the new administration coming in, and we need to be on the front lines. This is not a time for fear. This is not a time for retreat. This is a time to stand on the front lines and to speak out. Participate in things like we're opening with this open letter. Speak to your elected officials. Speak out on social media. Speak to your friends and your circles and your churches. And call on followers of God who understand right versus wrong, truth and morality, to speak out about what the Bible says about the world and our families and our homes and our churches. And this is the time to put a stake in the ground and to say, this is what our country believes, this is what we believe, and to stand there, not to back up, not to be afraid. We are gaining ground. We are moving forward. We are on the advance in this country, and there are greater days ahead. This is the time to step on the gas and to engage, not to back up. So if someone's out there wondering, when is the time to step up? Now is the time to step up.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, and continue to pray, because the solution to our problems is in the Lord. He can change things. He can do what we can't do. So my favorite phrase, God will not do what you can do, and you cannot do what he can do. And so we can pray and we can get involved. We're talking to Dr. Scott Coulter, the CEO and founder of the Danbury Institute, and we are up against a break, but when we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, we would love to hear from you. Hey, everything does rise and fall on leadership, and poor leadership results in disaster. Strong leadership results in blessing. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking to Dr. Scott Coulter, the CEO and founder of the Danbury Institute. It's an issues-based nonprofit association of churches focused on educating and mobilizing around cultural and public policy issues from a Judeo-Christian perspective. Scott was a teacher at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. He's been involved in education for a good part of his life. And so, Scott, I want to kind of shift gears on you for a minute and talk about theological education, talk about the church. I had somebody call in a week or two ago, and they were saying how they couldn't find a pastor, and they were seeing, from their perspective, it seemed like there was a shortage of pastors for churches. What do you see as far as church closures and guys going into the ministry and that kind of thing? Are we starting to have a shortage?
We really are. That's absolutely true. I'm actually in Vermont this week teaching a week-long course on leadership as well up here at a Christian college. And we were discussing that just yesterday, this movement that the seminaries are not producing enough students to fill the pulpits of even the vacant churches right now, much less those who are coming online very, very soon, especially as kind of the main age of many of our pastors across this country who are reaching retirement. There will be an influx of an opening of churches looking for pastors. There's also been a shift in the last decade or so of students in seminary and those who feel a call to ministry being uncertain of specifically what that vocation would be. When I was in seminary and starting out now almost 20 years ago, doesn't feel like that long, but many of the men in seminary classes felt a very clear call to the pastoral leadership ministry. And today, if you sit down and poll the incoming class to a seminary class, there would be much more openness to wanting to do some type of ministry in general or some type of service to the Lord, but no real clarity of what that is around the pastorate. And so fewer of our students are feeling called into the pastorate. You put all that together, and there is certainly a shortage already taking place, and it will only increase in the coming months and years.
Scott, what is, we were hearing a lot about the Southern Baptist Convention, especially on X, much conversation about, you know, the direction of the seminaries and that kind of thing. I haven't seen as much of that. What is the current pulse of the Southern Baptist Convention?
You know, there's a whole bunch of seminaries out there within the SBC and close and tangential to the SBC, Mid-America, where I serve on the faculty, as well as schools like Trent McConnell in Georgia, that are closely related to the SBC but are not owned by the convention. A lot of those concerns have still not been addressed. There's still faculty members teaching things that are concerning. There's still issues of being what's taught in the classroom. One of those issues that has been a continuing issue and relates to our call here today is one of our seminaries within the SBC teaching the significance of climate change sensitivity and that pastors need to be incorporating that into their leadership, even encouraging students to purchase climate credits when they go on flights and things like that. That's happening at one of our SBC seminaries. So there's still a lot of concern out there. Pastors across the board are kind of deciding what they want to do with that. And so many are deciding to quit supporting or to quit going to the SBC annual meeting. Some that do support that direction are redoubling their support. And what we're seeing is really that's run its course in some ways. The DEI-CRT agenda has been exposed for a lot of what it is, and so there was a lot of discussion early on, but generally speaking among conservative circles, that has been seen for what it is, and pastors and Christians in general are seeing the fruits of that now being played out in real time, certainly in the cases we're talking about today in cities all across America, and that has lost some of its luster that was there several years ago.
You know, Scott, as far as theological education goes, I still remember something that our mutual friend, Dr. Paige Patterson, said. You know, when online studies started to really take off, you know, Liberty was on the front end of that, and they really reaped the benefits. I know Dr. Patterson really fought against that because he said, you know, there's more to a seminary education than just the classroom. It's being on campus, it's being in chapel, it's leaving what you know, your old life behind, it's getting out of the boat, it's struggling with the other students. We don't have as much of that, and I agree with him. I don't know how you fight it, but it does make a difference when guys are not forced to really you know, take that step of faith. I know for me in the 90s, I mean, I had to leave my job. We had to move from Houston to Wake Forest, North Carolina. It was a big test of faith, and it really formed who I am today because I saw God come through. How do you deal with that kind of a dynamic? Because it is what it is, but it does have a very negative effect on the guys going into the ministry.
Well, being an effective pastor and an effective Christian leader is really more of a trade than it is an academic discipline. And we could not teach a plumber to be a plumber over an internet course. We couldn't teach a heart surgeon to do heart surgery over an internet course. And a lot of that parallels into the pastorate. There's things in the pastorate of serving people, walking with people, teaching, preaching effectively, doing ministry in the trenches to help people who are hurting and who need a touch from Christ in special ways that is gained being there in person, walking with your professors, walking with your fellow students in a unique one-on-one setting that our seminaries have provided. And that has been true really for the entire history of Christianity. You look back at even our earliest universities in this country before they've all gone to the left of Harvard and Yale and Brown and Cornell and some of those that started to train Christian ministers and to serve as seminaries in those early years. Those were all deeply personal, deeply intensive settings, and that has now been replaced by online courses. You can't recreate that through a screen or through an online reading program. And so there's an aspect that is being lost in transmission through this online program, but I share your concern. There are people who cannot get to seminary, who are in foreign countries or are unable to get to a place like that, and the only option they might have is through an online program, and so certainly that's better than nothing. And when you open that up, then a lot of people who don't want to make the commitment will take advantage of that as well and kind of take the easier shortcut route, which is lowering the quality of our pastors and our leaders, and we're seeing that in our churches all across the country, the effects of that.
Yeah, it's a sad reality for sure. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. And we have Steve on the line from Texas. Steve, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, I just wanted to say that one thing we talk about the DEI and migration and stuff like that a lot of the time, but we don't, I don't think we put a whole lot of focus on where those things are coming from. They didn't just show up en masse as they have organically. So with migration, for instance, there are explicit compacts run through, say, the United Nations, the Compact for Migration, that are creating organized movements to get these things going. DEI has the same kind of thing going on where large index funds and banking institutions are giving preferential loans and financing to companies to implement these things. And that's causing them to be adopted en masse because there are financial and business incentives to do so, and there are large organizations working with large groups of people in order to get these things going.
Okay. Scott, anything on that?
No, I agree with a lot of that. There's I think there's a lot of key players behind the curtain, if you will, that are working an agenda to accomplish these things. And a lot of that, I think, is for the destabilization of our country. Certainly other countries have an interest in that. And so we need to be wise to what's happening. We need to be wise to what's playing out and where these ideas are coming from. And then we need to look at the consequences. The immigration thing, it sounds good on first glance. It sounds good to make a better life for yourself. But when you look at what that's doing in our country, the fentanyl and the sex trafficking and the child trafficking is taking place under that guise, it's the drug cartels that control the border on the Mexico side. And those who are profiting from this, those who have a reason to allow these types of things, we have a moral standard to step up and to adjust our response to that and to be wise as a serpent in those moments and paying attention to where these ideologies are coming from and who's behind them. There's a lot of corporations, a lot of money, a lot of profit to be gained on the immorality of what's happening in our country. Yes, I agree with much of that.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. You know, Scott, when you think about it, I'm a simplistic thinker, but you think about these guys that are working hard to destabilize America. I've always stated that, well, we're on the same ship called America. If America sinks, even the George Soroses of the world go down. Why would people work to destroy something that is going to affect them in the process?
That's a great question. There's so many national and global interests that we're seeing around the globe that do rise and fall kind of on a destabilized America. And there's countries that are vying for power. We see this with what's happening in the Middle East right now that want control and freedom of things. America has been able to prevent a lot of that, to thwart a lot of that. Russia is on the move in some different ways. Iran is on the move in some different ways. China is on the move in some different ways. And historically, the value of the American dollar and the American strength has been able to suppress a lot of evil in the world, a lot of Christian persecution in the world, a lot of things that we would oppose. And that stands in the way to many of these agendas of power and strength and putting other countries on top of America that seem to have agendas differently. We talked about climate change. China more than three times produces the amount of greenhouse gases and global warming and difficulties than America does. And so while we're here stripping ourselves of our freedoms and our rights in America, China's not doing anything to stop the crisis in that sense in our world. And so there's all kinds of agendas at play in these things.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, I think it's Romans 1:22. I go back to that time and time and time again for America. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And we do so many foolish things. California, great example, as we've been talking about the out-of-control fires there. Not having water because you're protecting some fish doesn't make sense at all. And as you pointed out, Scott, you know, environmentally, what does it do to your environment when you have this raging fire that's burning up your city? Seems to me that we strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. We're just idiots when it comes to governance in today's world. It's a sad reality.
The government's primary goal is to provide for its people and to protect its people. And when they replace that with a liberal leftist agenda, the people are left behind. And so we're seeing that in cities with businesses closing, with crime-ridden cities, with now fire-ridden cities. These are the outcomes of this, of putting the wrong things first and messing up our priorities. All that goes back to the leadership of the people who are in charge making these decisions. And the buck stops with them. This is on their hands.
Right. Well, we have Molly on the line from Texas. Molly, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thank you. Hi. For having me. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Molly.
Great. So I actually was on the phone with American Family Radio and yesterday trying to find a podcast that I do believe that was on the in this hour. I listen every morning. It was a few months back. I worked for the second largest school district in the state of Texas, and it was social emotional learning. Does that ring a bell? With the SEL curriculum that is being adopted across the nation.
I'm not familiar with that.
You're not. Shoot. Okay. It was, it might have been Alexander Hamilton. Or Alex McFarland. I'm desperately trying to find it. I did speak with American Family Radio because the underlying message of the lady that developed this program is absolutely 100% not good for kids and children. And I just wanted to do a little more research about that.
I don't know, Scott, do you know about that?
I've heard just a little bit about the social emotional learning outcomes and things like that, and I would agree with the caller here that that's very concerning. It does not seem to be coming from a biblical worldview, and it seems to be steeped in a lot of secular ideologies that we're concerned about as Christians, and putting that into our education system. So I don't know much about it, but I would lump that into a lot of the concern of what's being taught to our children in these curriculums that we're opposing in some ways.
Yeah. Well, Molly, I'm sorry I couldn't be more of help to you but I appreciate you calling in, and you can check with Alex or Alexander on that and see if they have more information. We have time for one more call. Russ in West Virginia, or Wyoming, I'm sorry. Russ, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much for your ministry. My question is, you made a comment a minute ago about SBC College that has kind of grabbed hold around, you know, climate credits and that sort of a thing. My question is, with myself having kids in the college search or one in college, how do you find out what colleges are remaining true to the Bible and which have gone the wrong way, you might say?
Yeah, great question. Okay, Scott, we only have about 45 seconds, so go.
Well, you've got to take some ownership of this. Look into what's out there. Talk to professors. Talk to students who are there. Look online. There's a lot of blogs and podcasts out there. I work at Mid-America Seminary in Memphis, Tennessee. They're one that's very true to the Bible. True at McConnell University in Georgia, Northeastern Baptist College in Vermont. Liberty University is doing well in a lot of ways. And so pay attention, talk to students, check it out. But yeah, there's so much at stake in where you go and what you're being taught. So I commend you for checking into that.
Yeah. Thanks, Russ. Thanks for the call. Scott, thanks for being my guest. It's always a pleasure, my friend. God bless you. And thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hey, stay warm, stay safe, go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.